Welcome to Dr. Emmett Miller's Healing Times Radio, Conversations with Extraordinary People. This show can be heard on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to dreamvision7radio.com, click Listen Live, and enjoy the show.
Hello, this is Dr. Emmett Miller. Welcome back to Conversations with Extraordinary People, where our goal is to look beyond the superficial and reveal the essence, to explore hidden dimensions of life's challenges, and discover new and powerful ways of healing, balancing, and optimizing the function of mind, body, emotion, behavior, and spirit on both the individual as well as the collective level. As I was preparing to share with you this conversation with Marilyn Nyborg, it occurred to me there are some other things that I'd like to share with you that you may find interesting and useful. And if you have seen my recent video, which is called The Power of the Mind to Heal, it's really the first of five videos in that series. The first in that series is called The Power of Your Mind to Manage Stress and Heal Your Body. And in that particular video, you may have heard me talk about how I feel that the essence of healing and the essence of life and the essence of love can all be found at a submolecular level, all the way down at the level of the carbon atom. In my life, I first wanted to learn what healing was. I was a physician, and so it seemed to me that really understanding that process of healing was central to my practicing. As I began to understand that healing could be best understood by looking at that model of Claude Bernard, who talked about the fact that there needs to be a balance within, a homeostasis, and that maintaining that homeostasis is what creates healing and what gives the organism, even if it's just a single cell, the ability to ward off disease and ward off attackers and to protect itself. And that the healing process really has to do with knowing the identity of the system that's attempting to heal itself. That system needs to know its identity, so there's a sense of oneness and identity. That's the first factor. And the second factor is then bringing balance into the system, because it's imbalance and polarity that create our illnesses, that those inner conflicts that eat away at our ability to remain in homeostasis, and thereby we have internal symptoms, you know, like inflammation, and we have emotional symptoms because there's an inner conflict, and the body becomes less resistant to, let's say, bacteria or fungi or viruses or cancer, in the same way that the mind and the emotions become susceptible to further trauma. When we're out of balance, things that might not ordinarily disturb us will disturb us because of our lack of balance. Our lack of balance creates a defensive mode within the old brain, and then we find ourselves at odds with the world and back at a level of polarity. So the carbon atom, by solving the problem of polarity, but instead sharing electrons, made it possible for higher levels of being to develop. You couldn't have more than 10 or 20 cells, maximum 10 or 20 different elements couldn't get together because the polarity would drive them apart. But because the carbon atom shares electrons, there's a togetherness, there's a wholeness, and there's a oneness. And you can think of that metaphorically as being the same difference between being at odds with someone where you're trying to, let's say, protect your body or protect your treasure or protect your secrets or whatever it might be from another person, because you see that other person somehow as being an enemy. And then you move to the state where you've learned to be able to trust that other person and vice versa, and that polarity doesn't exist between you, then the kind of intimacy that you have can bring about wonderful creative things. And so it's this urge to not fight with each other, but to embrace each other that brings together the carbon atoms, makes possible ultimately proteins and ultimately DNA, and then the ability to create a living cell. And in that cell, all the molecules want to stay together. That urge to merge is like within the cell, and it creates an inner homeostasis within itself by protecting all those that are the part of the oneness. And similarly, in multicellular animals, something binds the cells together. And not only that, but they bind the cells together and they allow themselves to be guided by a nervous system. And that nervous system coordinates all of their movements so that you can function in the world around you. Again, there's a holding together. And then you think about the love of a mother for her child, and that holding together goes beyond just maintaining a homeostasis for what's inside my body, but now I love the other as much as myself, maybe more. And you can see it in the, let's say, during the heat of early sexual love, or the beginnings, the arising of the sexual feelings. Think of the attraction that's there. That is the same thing as there is within that carbon atom. Into the attraction of a good friend, the love that you have for them, the wanting to be together. Think about those feelings. They're all different kinds of love, but they're different, but there's something similar. What is it that's similar? And then, of course, there's what we call agape, which is this kind of love that doesn't need the other person to respond in any particular way, because it's a love that's completely giving. It's just a full acceptance, sometimes thought of as the love of God, like the love of a Christ, the love of a truly, truly giving, committed person, which is really a special kind of oneness, of wholeness. And so that is the essence. That's what we're talking about as being the essence of life and of healing and of love. It is the open, honest desire to connect and be with another. And so what happens when a musical group plays together well, or two people sing in beautiful harmony? There's a closeness. There's a relationship. There's a love. And you can hear it in the music. And you can feel it. And that feeling, of course, is awakening an empathy within ourselves, that same oneness and completeness and connection and balance reflects something that's deep within ourselves. And so we have men and women, males and females. Now, the females, in my experience, are much, much, much better equipped to feel that way. You know, whether it's a relationship between a couple of 17-year-old kids, boy, that girl has a much better sense of what wholeness and honesty are, and loyalty, than that teenage guy. Are you kidding me? You know, and even as we go up the line, we see that there's a kind of difference between males and females. Females, they get together. They did a study in which they put groups of men together. All they talked about were sports and politics. And they put a group of women together. And they got to know each other. They knew about each other's families. They knew where each other was in their menstrual cycle, all kinds of personal stuff that women seem so much better equipped to connect in this other way, in this deeply loving way. And so I So, and I see the first cell because it could divide in half and make two daughter cells. Well, it's got to be a female, right? Yeah, so the basic first cell and the second and third cell and the 100th cell, they're all female. And when we get into multicellular animals, well, in the beginning, they all just divide in half too, so they got to be female. But somewhere along the line, the male was invented. I mean, up until then, everybody had two X chromosomes, and all of a sudden, they invent an animal that has an X and a Y chromosome. You know, metaphorically speaking, why? Well, if you study genetics, you immediately realize that the chances for further variety in the species is increased exponentially by the presence of a male that can take the genetic material from one female and take it over to another female and let the two of them blend in some way. Wow, you have many more combinations of these fantastic genes that are within. So males are kind of invented as a messenger boy. And so they take, they take this genetic material that it was born with, and male carries it, and the male seeks to implant that sexual material in another female. And then the process continues. Yeah, there's another male that has something to do with it, but as each one of us is basically just a carrier of the sperm from the male to the female, and as such, boom, there's such an incredible increase in the speed of evolution toward higher animals, you know, like us. And this is why males are so highly colored and decorated out in the wilds. It's so the female can find the one who's got the best genetic material and say, okay, baby, let's go. You know, so all that strutting around the peacock is doing is just saying, hey, I've got good genetic material from another woman, buy me, buy me. And then, of course, he has the fun of of doing that. And then we have, therefore, those males that are, and the males also have to fight each other off. So not only is it the male who has the best coloring and the best moves and so forth, but also the male that can defend his turf and keep other males from horning in on this female that he's managed to corner. And, you know, if you're like a dog pack or pack of chimpanzees, it's, you know, how many females you've been able to round up and protect. And so there's this aggressiveness that comes along with the male and that has been forever a part of us as male mammals. However, in the culture we're in now, it's really working against us. And I think that some of the reasons that women don't get into high political positions and that they're kept out of the boardroom and why you have so few female CEOs is because they would care. And if you're saying, okay, we're going to move our factory out of the United States and send it to someplace in Asia because it's going to raise our stock by 2 or 3 points. And this woman's going to say, but wait a minute, you're going to put 10,000 loyal workers out of business. Now, well, you don't want people like that in the in your boardroom. You know, I mean, just look at the news these days. The CEO of Volkswagen has to resign after revelations that his company committed fraud on an epic scale, installing on its diesel cars tricky software that could detect when the test was being done and give a false reading. The result of that is that the engines they put out there were polluting 10 times more than the limit. And of course, they did it because they could advertise their safe vehicles, safe for the environment. But how could you do that? Just so that you could earn more money? Or the president of a peanut company who just got sentenced to 28 years in prison for knowingly shipping tainted products that later killed 9 people and sickened 700. He said, you know, we can't afford to lose the business of these stores. Send off the contaminated material anyway. And then a drug that she used to treat toxoplasmosis, this terrible disease, is bought by an investment company, and they jack the price up from $13.50 a tablet to $750 a tablet. You know, they increase it by 5,000% just because they can. So I believe there's something that women tend to be more in touch with. I often say it's because they've got 2 X chromosomes. We as men have 1, but we also have a Y. And that makes us like games like football and hockey. And yeah, a lot of women like that sort of thing too. But there's something it stirs up in the male. It's this aggressiveness. It's this competitiveness. And it's that's given us the world that we have now. It's given us the corrupt governments we have all over the world. We've got 60 million refugees. You know what it would be to be thrown out of your house with a pillowcase full of your belongings and that's it? There's 30 million slaves in the world right now. And yet we worry about making sure we have the next iPhone. We're not looking at the things that count. And it's always been my belief that if we enable ourselves to listen to women, and if we enable women to speak loudly enough, they're so beautiful. If we could allow them to speak loudly enough, what they have to say can transform us in the way that we need to be transformed. I truly hope you will enjoy this conversation with Marilyn Nyborg. Today we're here with Marilyn Nyborg, who's going to share a little bit of her journey with us. And in particular, we'll learn something about an organization called Gather the Women, and also an organization called Women Waking the World. Welcome to Healing Times, Marilyn.
Thank you, Emmett. It's nice to be here.
So maybe you could start. Gather the Women's been around for
eight years
now. Uh-huh. So tell us just a little bit about what Gather the Women is.
Well, Gather the Women is just what it sounds like. We gather women. And we do that for the purposes of connecting women for inspiration, for collaboration, for networking, for motivation, to help them to, in any way we can, to support their voice being brought to the world. And in many ways, we're also there to support the activists whose voices are already being heard, but need sometimes, safe space and healing space. Mm-hmm. So we're there for mm-hmm. that as well. And we do that in a number of ways. One mm-hmm. of our big ones is once a year, on March 8th, we celebrate International Women's Day mm-hmm. in a rather unique fashion. We don't just look at our history as women. We're actually looking at who we are right now and what is needed in the world, and then how can we together bring that forward. It is a deeply developing sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. When you say the history of women, you mean the history of womankind?
Well, yes. You know, it's basically, there's a Women's History Month, for example, mm-hmm. and it goes back and talks about the suffragettes and all the wonderful things that have happened through time. We certainly appreciate and acknowledge that, but our celebration of International Women's Day is to celebrate ourselves mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. in current time. Mm-hmm. And we also do that through other activities, ongoing activities. We recently in our area had a film, we showed a film, and will be kind of a film festival throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And it was called Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which was totally inspiring and wonderful mm-hmm. about the Liberian women who really took their country back and stopped the war. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing we want to infuse in women. And boy, the energy when you get a group of women together, you never know what's going to come out of it, which is mm-hmm. wonderful. My friend always says, when women come together, wonderful things happen. Mm-hmm. So Gather the Women provides that space, safe space. We also create women's circles, so we invite them into ongoing circles where they can be both, it could be for inspiration. The circle could be a project circle, could be a study circle, collaborations, a circle around common interests. And we encourage women to have that circle support.
Mm-hmm. So it's a way for women to be active in a certain way, isn't it?
And supported.
Mm-hmm. Both, mm-hmm. both, to be active and supported. Mm-hmm.
And what? How did you happen to become associated with it? A little bit about your history.
Well, strangely enough, first of all, I think I've been sitting in circle for at least 50 years. No, I'm cheating. It must be 30 now, 30, 35 years of sitting in circle with women. And I have always found the benefit of that, to support and to be seen. And I think we all need to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so that's been an important part of my life. And about 8 years ago, I connected with a woman in the Bay Area to say, you know, how can we use the internet to bring all of these women's circles and women's gatherings and women's groups together? And she basically said, you know, someone's doing that and I've got a better idea. Mm-hmm. What she said was that she had just done a conference with women where many had come up to her to say, you know, Carol, it's time that we gather the women. Mm-hmm. So Carol Hansen Gray was sort of the initiator of this idea, and she said, well, let's meet. So I drove to the Bay Area and met with women I had never met before, and I think there were about 12 of us. Mm-hmm. And we came together to say, so what is Gather the Women? I mean, we know it has a call. It's calling us. What are we being called to? Mm-hmm. And of course, there, you know, we went to the usual list, which included, you know, poverty and abuse and. But for all of those, there are wonderful activities already going on. Mm-hmm. There are already mm-hmm. organizations that are already addressing mm-hmm. those issues. So mm-hmm. I just said, well, who's addressing the heart and soul of a woman? Mm-hmm. You know, who mm-hmm. are we? Mm-hmm. How can we come together? What do we need to be doing for and with one another? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, that began to spark, and we were working in such a beautifully collaborative way. All of the writings that came out of those early meetings are really quite lovely in speaking of who and what Gather the Women is about.
Mm-hmm. So when you say examining, looking at the heart and soul of a woman, mm-hmm. in what way would you proceed to do that that's different from looking for the heart and soul of a person or of a man?
What's good the question. Good question. We have been overlooked for the most part in history, which has been written by men, and they've written of their experience. And we are now realizing that we also had an experience. Some of it was lost in history. Mm-hmm. Some of it is being reclaimed in history. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at who we are. And then we get into another whole conversation about the repression of that which is feminine in the world. Mm-hmm. And we move into that area. I'm almost ready to move to my other group mm-hmm. because that's what that is really dealing with. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do that?
Well, so with gathering the women, so mm-hmm. how many are in that group now?
We have about, I would say, a database of over 10,000 worldwide, mm-hmm. which is really lovely. Mm-hmm. And I've had the most wonderful experience of being able to communicate with women and have met wonderful women, mm-hmm. the African women, that awesome, the mm-hmm. Australian women, and mm-hmm. and now we're hearing more from European women, which is really lovely, and asking us, you know, what are you doing, and how can we share our needs, and how can we support one another? So we you know, it's all about relationships. So we've mm-hmm. also developed a lot of personal relationships through our website and through connecting mm-hmm. with those women around the world, and just delighted about that.
And different groups have been involved in different projects?
Well, you know, we're not project-oriented. We are really event-oriented or mm-hmm. circle-oriented, if you will. As Gather the Women, the purpose is to bring women together to inspire and activate. It is not, the doing is not done in Gather the Women, mm-hmm. which is a very strange way to, I mean, it's an interesting description because it's not how most organizations work. I think mm-hmm. we've worked very differently, and we have now some around 30 or 40 women across the United States mm-hmm. who we call our regional coordinators, and mm-hmm. we have one right here in Nevada County mm-hmm. where we're from. And the regional coordinators get on the phone once a month, and they talk about the various ways in which they have found to bring women together. And sometimes mm-hmm. that's through collaborating with other women's organizations, mm-hmm. Conferences, mm-hmm. and et cetera.
Yeah. And you've described this as being a kind of spiritually inspired activism?
Absolutely. I mean, it's coming from the heart. Well, mm-hmm. it means that we are aware that there is a greater purpose, mm-hmm. that there is a greater connection, and we don't narrow it down to a specific religion mm-hmm. or a particular cause. Mm-hmm. We're saying that women, I think women need to be seen and heard everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage women to do that, and we give them the forum to do that. But coming from heart is not coming from, it's coming from service and not mm-hmm. from ego. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just reading today that the feminist movement happened and it's over. Isn't that true from the 60s? What happened?
Well, I think we had a different feminist movement in the 60s. We had a different need in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think that what has grown out of that, I mean, we certainly stand on the shoulders of what they accomplished mm-hmm. without any question. And now we have time to go to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I attended the 1975, of course, I was only four at the time, mm-hmm. but I attended that that conference that the UN held, first one, mm-hmm. the UN conference on the status of women. Mm-hmm. And there we heard women really fighting for rights, fighting to be heard, mm-hmm. and fall out of fighting, actually. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. but it was an incredible conference to bring women from all over the world. I mean, they had the pleasure of standing in front of Mother Teresa back then. Mm-hmm. But the movement has changed a lot. Women have gained a great deal. Mm-hmm. But we've also incorporated a great deal of the patriarchal model of how we should be in the world.
Which is,
you know, a dominance over, which is separation. Mm-hmm. More narrow focus. Women, at heart, are more globally. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a good reason why in Haiti they're giving the food to the women. Mm-hmm. We feed everyone. Mm-hmm. And the men weren't feeding everyone. Mm-hmm. They were selling it or they were holding on to it. So it's
just
that...
Just like a man.
Don't take that personally. Because we realize that it is, you know, that's a patriarchal culture allows that dominance to occur and the repression of women and all that things that are feminine. Mm-hmm. So we are really wanting to honor all things feminine in both men and women.
And that, what you call the patriarchal model is what I call the old paradigm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mode of thinking where you're looking at differences,
Perfect.
You're looking at
yes.
black and white,
yes.
separation.
Absolutely, well described.
Gain for us yes. with little concern about someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which mm-hmm. misses a whole piece of the world.
Huge. Well, at least half the world, and then that other part of men too.
Well, it's to me, you know, I find it's about machines.
Mm,
the machines have really taken over.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I remember back in the 50s and 60s, there were science fiction shows about the robots taking over and controlling the human beings.
Right, right.
Oh, okay. Well, it's actually happened.
It's happened.
But it's not robots moving down the street. It's much more subtle mm-hmm. than that.
It's called corporate mindsets and...
That's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
machine
yeah,
think.
Yeah, yeah.
So that things are being done mm-hmm. That machines understand.
Yeah.
And machines only understand black and white.
Absolutely.
Zero and one.
Yeah. Exactly.
When I first started studying computers in 1962 mm-hmm. at this point, we had two kinds of computers, an analog computer and a digital computer. Mm-hmm. And we would sometimes work in one mode and sometimes in the other mode.
Yeah.
But the digital computer was far more capable mm-hmm. of doing the kinds of calculations mm-hmm. that made money.
And they were very exacting as well. And
very exact.
Yeah. And focused.
And so nobody paid attention to the analog computer.
Isn't that interesting? It's a great analogy.
And so and the computer, of course, is simply the projection of one mm-hmm. hemisphere of the brain. Mm-hmm. That's why mm-hmm. the computer is so similar
to our brains.
To our brains.
Exactly.
Because we've projected out basically the left mm-hmm. cortex. Mm-hmm. The one that's associated with the patriarchal model that's about analysis, as opposed
Perfect.
To the other side that has qualities, mm-hmm. that it's not black or white, but there's a spectrum of color between black and white, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. is as mm-hmm. important, mm-hmm. at least, as the
Absolutely.
Analytical zero or one, and the new paradigm means looking at both of those. And certainly women have, since the beginning of time, I would say, been the repository for that essence that allows us to look at relationship, because it's about what do we share, that is, mm-hmm. in what ways do we love each other.
And how will it impact others, mm-hmm. not just myself.
Yes.
Well, you've given my whole theory mm-hmm. here.
Good.
But, basically, my mind went into several directions, but one is, mm-hmm. it occurs to me that when a man gets up in the morning, and gets ready for his day, and maybe he puts his tie on, his t-shirt, whatever, and he's out the door.
Straps on his pistol.
Whatever. But he walks into a world the mind man has created.
That's right.
It's a culture that has come from that perspective, mm-hmm. that we're in charge. We've created the architecture here. We've created the institutions here, etc.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman gets up for the day, first of all, she's got to make sure that she's looking good. Right? She has to, maybe she's a working woman, she's got to put uncomfortable heels on or nylons on, whatever she does. In my day, it was a girdle. I don't know what they use these days. And then you restrict yourself with a bra and you make sure that your makeup really, you've got to look good. Mm-hmm. Because you are, in one way, you've got to look good for the men. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten to the place where now we have to look good for everybody. But there's an awful lot that goes into that. And she walks into a world that is not her world. She didn't create it, and she wasn't necessarily part of its foundation because she was left out of that. Mm-hmm. So a woman has to make her way in the world in a different way. And then we wind up with advertisements and stuff that totally support us to continue those separate ways. And of course, the patriarch already has a very dominant and very clear model of what you are as a woman and what you are as a man. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a world where my grandson can have a full range of emotional expression. He can cry, and he will not be called a wimp or a fag or all the demeaning things that, or a girl even, I mean, what's worse? And I want a world where my granddaughter can speak her mind with authority and be heard and not be called a bitch or an aggressive, assertive woman, but that they both have embodied their full sense of self, which is masculine and feminine in each one of us. So when I talk about patriarchy, I am not talking about men necessarily or today, because I think men and women are both victims of the patriarchy. They have been, you know, as we've said, all things feminine have been shoved to one side. So part of what we're expressing here or saying here is we know that there's a heart and soul to women which differs from the conventional patriarchal role. And too often our women have gone out and been successful by using the male model. But we also know that the companies that are doing well today are often feminine, you know, women leadership that's being brought in, that begins to consider the whole, that might sit in circle instead of audience side where I'm the expert and you're listening to me.
And there's more and more recognition of the need for this kind of thinking.
Absolutely. But
just if you look at the books that have come out just in the last 6 months, Collective Wisdom, Collective Intelligence, Drive, so many books that are saying we really need to shift to a different way of looking at things. And of course, when you talk about making the world safe for children to really be who they are, you're really talking about making them safe from the kind of violence that our culture feels it's okay to wreak upon children.
Yes.
You know, they just told me, go out and fight your own battles.
Right.
And
Look at all of our wars. We have a war on cancer. We have a war on drugs. We have a war on anything that we don't understand and can't cure or fix. Right. So we go to war. It's a very strong mentality. I watched a film the other night which really talked about our addiction to war, which is really quite amazing. So then there's the women in Liberia. And these women said finally, and I just thought they just had so much to teach us. They basically went to the women in their church and said, you know, we have to stop this war. It's ongoing. It would be like our going to Safeway and having people shooting in the parking lot. And she said, we have to stop this. We cannot go on. And at her church, and then another woman stood up at church and said, I know it's a surprise to you, but I'm a Muslim woman, and I'm hearing what you have to say, and I will go home to my sisters. And together they united in a way that when they finally got peace talks going, these women would not let them leave until they had agreements.
Right.
I mean, they were arm in arm around the building. Physically, they were showing up in droves of 1,000 and more, all in white. And they basically said, we're your mothers, your sisters, and you cannot do this to our children anymore.
And just goes to show that the power that we need and the tools that we need to change our world are in our hands.
Absolutely.
We're simply not using them because it only benefits people. It doesn't benefit machines. It doesn't benefit bottom lines. It doesn't make for, you know, million-dollar corporate bonuses. The world is run by those folks. I was just listening not too long ago where
representative of the industry saying to the banking industry is, you can't expect people to work for $500,000 a year. Yeah. You know, we need our million-dollar bonuses, you know, if we're going to continue to do the excellent work that we're doing. And the system that we're a part of, this mechanically driven system that men have been enslaved by.
Absolutely.
And the positive desires within them have been co-opted.
Totally.
To where they believe that they are serving their highest purpose when they're doing violence to other people in one way or another. Mm-hmm. It may be the frank violence of a physical attack, or it could be the verbal violence of gossip about someone, or accusations, or the kind of names that our politicians will call each other, and the utter disrespect that that we see, and this system controls us by means of the propaganda and by means of the media. What are the stories that you're seeing in the media?
Exactly.
What are the stories that you've heard? When I was growing up, I really dug Columbus, because I said, well, here's a guy who was willing to strike out on his own and trust his intuition. You know, and then I find out that they didn't tell me that Columbus cut the hands off of Indians who didn't bring him at least an ounce of gold a day. Columbus?
Yes.
You know, so the history books, you I learned that we had savage Indians that were attacking the American colonists. It wasn't that way at all. Now that we look at it, it was all a fantasy put out. And so the history books, you know, are written by the victors.
Absolutely.
And they're written to make what we've done look right. But what we've done over and over and over again is so horribly wrong. And, you know, the Arab oil embargo told us that we were going to run out of oil. We're too dependent on the Middle East. So what do? We invented SUVs and actually used up more. The subprime mortgage, and everybody's doing it now. There are millions of people out of work who aren't even, they don't even expect to get jobs within the next several years because of where we are, simply because of that kind of thinking that's there. So what you're talking about is a kind of thinking which is outside of what we hear in the usual
media. And what
media.
We honor and respect, actually. Mm-hmm. We're talking really about restoring feminine wisdom, feminine values, feminine influence. And in many ways, when you look at all the issues you brought up, if you went back to, in our history, first of all, most, as I mentioned earlier, women are left out of history, or it's been rewritten, and we're not accurately reflected in history as well. I mean, nowhere in the books at school you see something of the witch hunts, I think, back in New England, but you don't really realize that there was a Holocaust for women that went on for centuries, and millions of women were tortured and burned. It was woman's Holocaust.
I remember hearing that, and I went to a professor of women's studies, I says, could that be? Could there really have been several million women who were tortured and burned for being witches? And she said, yes. You know, we don't learn that. What is that system so eager to protect that it hides the truth from us and feeds us a story?
Well, look what has come down through history. Now, if you think about that time, for most women, held in ourselves that the world is unsafe and we should not speak out. And in many ways, as a result of that, we have given over our power because we want to be kept safe.
We're going to have to take a very short break. We'll come back. We'll learn a little more about you, and we'll go on to talk about women waking the world.
Love it.
And you're listening to Healing Times. This is Dr. Emmett Miller. And I'm here with Marilyn Nyborg. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hello, this is Dr. Emmett Miller again. You're listening to Healing Times, and I'm here with Marilyn Nyborg. We've been discussing Gather the Women. And before we go on to explore your latest developments and interests, tell us a little bit about how people can learn more about Gather the Women.
Thank you. First of all, you can go to our website, which is www.gatherthewomen.org, and you can also go to gatherthewomen.ning.com for Gather the Women in the Global Matrix. That's the international and national side of us. Locally, and I'm talking to you here in Nevada County, we are also involved with Gather the Women collectively, but locally we're very, very active, and we have a website also at Ning, which is gatherthewomennc, which is Nevada County. So gatherthewomennc.ning.com. Takes a lot to keep all those.
And Ning is spelled N-I-N-G.
N-I-N-G, yes,
so
yes.
gatherthewomennc.ning.com.
Here in Nevada County, specifically. And as in some of the other areas in the country, and I can't tell you where all they'll be, you can find that out on the website. But we do celebrate and have an upcoming event here called Gather the Women, celebrating International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. That's March 8th, and it'll be an evening event here from 5:30 until about 9 o'clock, and we invite women locally to come. It's a $10 admission. There will be a dinner available if they would like to come at 5:30 right from work. They can purchase a dinner. We have wonderful networking tables. We have a beautiful artist that will be displaying her work, as well as some wonderful performances with our local Jane Brevar, and from the Bay Area, Sister Monica, and we're very excited about that. So one will open, one will close, and we have some wonderful inspiration in between and some opportunities to kind of connect. Excellent networking, so
people,
I encourage you to come.
People love your conferences.
Oh, they're wonderful. Yeah, they're wonderful. This one will be held differently this year. We're going to be at the Holiday Inn. And so people should come early, because we don't have as much room, but it's a very nice space. So we have usually about 250 women, so it's a good idea to come early.
So where
get your
people
seat.
Look for tickets?
They can actually buy them at the door, and nothing's being sold ahead of time. And if they want to call me, they can do so at 530-477-7883 for our local event. And I might be able to give them a heads up. There's something going on in NOAA and back east, et cetera.
Right.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we left off our last segment with...
We were
burning women
for several
centuries.
Yes.
And now it's really, you know, barely more than 100 years ago that women got the right to vote here.
Do you know that we also received that right after the African-American freed slave did? The male African-American had the vote before we did. Yeah, and people don't know that either. I mean, isn't that interesting? I want to go back to the Holocaust, because I think it has had an enormous impact on our psychology as women, even not being aware of it. But when, you know, the sense of competing with women, this sense of, if I dare speak out, what in the world would have happened, do you think, if during those times the wives and daughters of the men who were perpetuating this had stepped forward and said, take me too. Would that have changed? What if we had actually listened to those women and what they were teaching? Would the planet be where it is now? If we had actually honored them for what they were doing, which was a deep, deep connection to the earth, to healing, to nature, to all of life, and as midwives, you know, they brought forward lives. But somewhere we had this incredible, you know, this very narrow focused on
dangerous to step off the,
very dangerous,
off the track.
Maybe. Very dangerous. And sometimes it still is. I mean, many women feel to speak up and to not go along with their husband's decisions would impact their security. And so we have many women that will live in loveless long-term marriages because of their fear.
Health benefits.
Yeah, health benefits. Yeah, absolutely. And for the children, you know, to have something safe for the children. So we want to work with women particularly, and we hope men will do their own work, which is to say, hey, how do we redesign this so that we can begin to unravel the impact of the patriarchal system that even men have difficulty with? I mean, I talked to one man who said, I never measured up. You know, I wasn't what they had in mind for me. So I've never felt successful. But that's painful, you know, painful.
It's living up to outside expectations.
Absolutely. and roles that had been defined.
Mm-hmm, and to somehow to believe that the most important thing for me to do is to live up to that role, to look a certain way or to have a certain impression or to have a certain material thing.
Exactly.
And if it means that I have to suppress someone else, if it means that I have to turn a blind eye to the fact that 50% of the population is being abused, then that's okay.
That's okay for my well-being. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a fundamental lack of integrity in when a human being is involved in a system that allows for such things to happen.
Yeah.
And my sense is that that's really the core principle. If we address that principle and to start looking at other people as equals in some way, we understand what the meaning of namaste is. And that's what women, how women tend to see things naturally. And so
that's right.
But to think that, I mean, we actually burn them at the stake by the millions so that that information stays hidden. But as long as it stays hidden, we'll continue to have the wars, we'll continue to have the economic meltdowns, we'll continue to have these horrible disasters that keep popping up and we go, oh, how did that happen?
And women had to betray one another.
Uh-huh.
They had to betray one another, which I think is another piece that we hold in our shadow side, because women then, to stop the torture, had to turn in women, names of women, and that went on and on. So we have a horrible heritage. And, you know, I often think of this whole feminine thing, not unlike racism and other isms, where, you know, someone was flattened for the benefit of the dominant. And unfortunately, the dominant has been traditionally white male. And I know that there are many men of, I call them men of heart, call you a man of great heart. I want to, I'd like to just introduce the next step in my journey, which has been creating something we call womenwakingtheworld.com, by the way, Women Waking the World. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We have a great website because I'm going to read this because I love the way it's just short and brief. Okay. We're basically framing the central crisis of our times in this manner. The devaluation of the feminine allows the degradation of the earth, the abuse of women, their exclusion from influence, ultimately the decline of all life. And now we have the Dalai Lama, the head of the UN, and others really calling forth Bishop Tutu, saying, you know, he said, the men have made an awful mess of it, and we must listen to the women now. And so we asked the men to offer that opening, to offer that protection for the women in their lives, to speak from that great place of heart, to begin to bring balance into the world, to honor the feminine in the male, that he too may allow his sensitivity forward, because it's there, it's innate. And also, which I don't know, you could refer to it as the divine masculine, and for women to understand that their role needs also to be redefined according to their own inner wisdom and not by the, you know, the proclamations of a patriarchal community. And it's a big difference.
I think everyone should look within to find out who they really are, but it's certainly, I think you'll have more takers, certainly if you go for women. I think that's really scary for so many men.
I go to conferences and I say, well, where are the men? These are not just for women, but where, you know, I go to Jean Houston's work and there's a handful of men in the audience, beautiful men who are there, who want to express from their souls, the soul's place. But I'd like to invite people to explore this website. It is truly a portal into this conversation. And the portal offers a curriculum. We have video, we have audio, we have blogs, we have resources for, if you go to this place, you will find where the conversation is happening and the where to's and the how's and how I can participate in beginning to unravel these patterns and behaviors that have been passed down through the decades and the centuries.
Wonderful. And you said something a few moments ago, it sounded like for men to make it safe for women to speak out. Say a little more about that. That's interesting.
Llewellyn Vaughn, who is an author, has just written a lovely new book on the divine feminine. And in there, he basically says the male role now is to offer protection for women to bring their gifts forward and do what is necessary for the planet. And it's a beautiful, beautiful acknowledgement that men are our protectors and to ask them to fulfill that role and to allow women then into that partnership. That's what we're calling for, a partnership that allows us to express both our masculine and feminine and to allow men to do the same in a respectful way. So that's where I think we're moving to.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. How long has Women Waking the World been in operation?
We have been in process, I'd say, for 18 months. Uh-huh. We started out thinking we wanted to bring an exhibit to the Parliament of Religions in Australia, which became huger than we could even manage. And it would have been an exhibit in which one could walk into a field and experience the divine feminine. And then experience what happened to her, where did she go, and then where we need to come as men and women. So that had morphed into a video that our friend Dale Allen has put together for us, where she begins it with, "In the beginning we worship the Creatress." And then she follows it along through the goddess cultures and taking you then to the left brain, right brain. That's very well done. And then where we need to go. And how we fulfill our own wholeness within each of us. But because I'm a woman, that's the call I make to women. And the women often say, "Well, what about the men?" And I say, "What? Tell them to do their work. Tell them to bring it forward. You know, we welcome their contribution."
Speak up.
Yeah. Come on.
How? And is there any thought of how? Because what we see is our current political spectacle, our congressional food fights.
Right.
If there was ever a time when our country needed to work together for survival, this is it. And instead, what I see is people attempting to create as much polarity as possible.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it the Bible said a house divided against itself can't stand? How do you imagine we might move from this inner looking and these kinds of conversations that really acknowledge everyone, that are looking at seeing what can we do for ourselves and others as well? How might that reach the political level where things really can happen?
It has to start with us individually, and I think it has to start with the conversation and the recognition of what patriarchal thinking has done to each of us. It has separated and divided us. And I would say that for all the issues we're dealing with in the world today, if we went back to whatever starting point that happened at, when the issues came up about how do we handle that country that doesn't agree with us, if there had been women at the table that came from that place, I think we'd have a different outcome. And it's not too late. I think men need to listen to the women in their lives, to their mothers, their sisters, listen, and to invite them to speak up. And at the same time, I think men have to speak up. It's time to listen to the feminine, wherever it is. We have to listen to the earth, to the women, and to that place within all human beings.
Now, it seems to me that that's what we all claim to be doing. And you go to anyone running for political office and say, "Do you believe that women should have an equal say?" They go, "Yes." And "Do you believe that African Americans should have an equal say?" "Do you believe that we should listen to that we should look at things with compassion?" People always say yes. Should we be being fair to to other people?
We give a lot of lip service, don't we? Frankly, I think the collapse of this structure in the government and what's happening may be the birth of something new. That's what I would hope for. But more than that, men and women of heart need to step forward and take responsibility for the government. They need to run for office. Women need to run for office. Men need to help us do that. There's a huge, earthquake, if you will, going on the planet. at so many different levels, and it's scary. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if we can hold our own mm-hmm. and bring that forward mm-hmm. in conversation, mm-hmm. in our votes, mm-hmm. in our workplace, mm-hmm. I may not see that in mm-hmm. my lifetime, but I do think it's begun. Mm-hmm. And we also have to be conscious of the men who now, they call this not a recession, but a he-session, because the men are so deeply impacted by this. Mm. And what's happening is women are actually now moving forward into various roles of leadership, mm-hmm. which is also scary if they adopt the male model. Mm-hmm. And the men to handle what is happening in this he-session. Mm-hmm. If they do not find that place inside of themselves, they will become more abusive and more violent mm-hmm. because right. their identity is being ripped away. Mm-hmm. So we're in an incredibly interesting crisis.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about running for office, and it just occurs to me that the system has a sort of a zero-sum game. One person wins, the other
right.
person
absolutely
loses. Yes. And if your career is as a politician, mm-hmm. or if your mm-hmm. career leans on politics, then losing itself can put...
It's not going to work for you.
It can really put you out of the game.
Yeah.
And if you speak up for the wrong thing in today's political yeah. climate, or if you opt for some third voice, it's not, okay, we're not talking liberal, we're not talking yeah. Conservative, we're talking, good sense, well, then you're rejected by both, and you get... And you get blacklisted. Could there be a way that a person could run for office and the person who lost, rather than simply getting bigger guns for the next fight, say, okay, let me see what I can do to support you. Yeah. When Barack Obama came in, and people actually had the nerve to say, I want him to fail. Mm-hmm. Him to mm-hmm. fail,
right.
He's successful.
Right. Right.
There's what black man has ever been that successful? He's got his success. It's our success. If he fails, we fail. And they don't see the whole.
Well, if you don't think in we, mm-hmm. and you think in I, you create and perpetuate the separation. Yeah. But you know where I actually saw a little bit of hope? Mm. I was listening to the Republican conference they just held in Washington. Mm-hmm. This, I forget what they call it. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of young people there. Mm-hmm. And these young people were not concerned about gay marriage or abortion. Mm-hmm. They were concerned about fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think there is some hope in our young people stepping forward.
I hope so. And I think there's some hope in the work that you're doing. Why don't you give the websites again for
okay.
those who are interested.
Got lots of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the website for Gather the Women. www.gatherthewomen.org, and locally gatherthewomennc.ning.com and www.womenwakingtheworld.com.
Thank you, Marilyn Nyborg. It's great to have you here.
Pleasure.
This is Emmett Miller signing off for today. And remember, stay tuned.
You've been listening to Dr. Emmett Miller's Healing Times Radio. Conversations with Extraordinary People on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more information about Dr. Miller's work, his upcoming events, new programs, and how you can change your mind and change your life, visit his multimedia website at drmiller.com. That's drmiller.com. If you would like to take advantage of Dr. Miller's 20% discount on all of his MP3 guided imagery programs, visit shopdrmiller.com. Locate your desired program and use the promo code DREAM, all lowercase, when checking out. Conversations with Extraordinary People is produced in the DrMiller.com studios. Special thanks to Jesse Churchill and Deborah Beauvais.